Literally, the question I get from everybody about you is, are you actually as weird as you are in the videos?
You got to define weird. I don't know what weird is. Oh, God. Hello?
Yes, is the answer to that question.
No, I mean, it doesn't. What is weird? What is weird to most people? What is weird to you?
Wearing a lime shirt to a podcast.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, it's honestly, I feel like people are going to be interested in this, just especially fans of you, to see you talk for an unedited hour, to see what you're like.
I mean,
pretty much. I don't cut anything out.
I have to get a lawyer. I have to get like documents written out. I don't know.
You signed
ready.
A release before we did this.
I did not sign stuff. Is this copyright?
Yeah, no, you can swear. Okay. I've been getting demonetized so long I'm used to it. Gotcha. But yeah, so I wanted to have you on, just to talk about Game of Thrones, because you're the only other person in the house that actually digs Game of Thrones, keeps up with it, and watches it in general. Do you need to fix your mic? You're comfortable.
I just feel like I'm too... All right, there we go. I want you to keyframe every movement I do.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. It's a still camera.
Okay. So you said Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Did you see the last episode?
Let me just say Game of Thrones is a great, great show. I started watching it pretty late, but I started like binging it back when I moved into the house the mm-hmm. first time.
Then you saw it again with Joey, right?
Yeah, just recently. But then I don't know what's going on with this last season. It seems a bit, I feel like, I don't know. It just seems a bit confusing because the writers are kind of like swaying off of the main topic of what Daenerys is supposed to be.
Well, if you didn't know, they ran out of source content. So this new season's the only one not based loosely on the books.
Okay.
So the books, the actual show has surpassed the books.
It's made for TV.
All right, with that being asked, how many times have you rewatched the show?
I've rewatched it once.
So you've seen it once and then you rewatched it once. Okay. So I've seen it probably like 4 or 5 times. Okay. But I just like put it on the background and like listen to it pretty much. Did you read the books?
I've never read the books. I didn't even know there were books until like just recently.
Yeah, see, I would consider myself like a super fan of Game of Thrones, but I haven't read the books. And I feel like anyone who claims to be like a super fan of Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or any of those other things, you have to have read the books.
But who's reading books? That's like paper.
No
one's going to read it like ink. Just you got Twitter for, you know, reading and stuff nowadays. People are not going to like, you know, take their time. Unless it's like an assignment at school.
God, this is going to be weird.
I'm just saying, no, it's just like who real... Comments. We need comments. Okay, who's really reading nowadays?
I'm gonna start reading.
Read a lot. My last name. I mean, hey, dude.
You're hitting the table a bunch. Look at you. Fuck. You got to stop doing that. This is what I do. I put my arms here. Like we learned from Linda. I didn't even know to tell people to do that, but then I watched it. Jesus Christ. Anyways, so
Game of Thrones. I read books sometimes.
I'm gonna read the books. I'm going on a vacation with my family for like 9 days. And it's the thing I'm always tweeting about. My grandfather keeps wanting me to bring a girlfriend to, but I'm not bringing anyone. So this is the first time I'm going like on a family vacation, like kind of by myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm with my, you know, my mother, dad, my grandparents, my sister and her husband.
So you're going to miss the show is what you're saying.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to.
That's a good thing because when you come back, you can binge it.
Well, no, I think you get internet on cruise lines nowadays.
No, but you're not watching Game of Thrones on a cruise.
Oh, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones on a cruise. I bet there's going to be a bar somewhere on that boat that has it up, and everyone's going to go there and watch it together.
The whole crowd just watching together?
Mm-hmm. Cool. But I am going to buy the books. I want to start reading the books. And the reason why is I, like, as huge of a fan of Game of Thrones as I am not enjoying this last season. And that took me a long time to realize it, because the first episode came out, and I was like, okay, this is good. They're doing some explaining. We're setting up the stage. The second episode, I still really enjoyed it. It was a fucking hour and a half long battle scene. Some people, you know, oh, by the way, this is going to obviously contain spoilers.
So I
should have started that in the beginning. So we're obviously going to spoil the shit out of Game of Thrones. We're going to talk about this season. I wanted to talk to you about the prophecies and different things in the show that they've just seemed to have pushed aside and completely forgotten about. But,
like what? Like the Lord of Light and stuff?
Yeah, I feel
like that all ended when, what's her name? The Red Witch died.
Yeah, see, I actually have... I wanted to address some of the complaints on Twitter, too, because there's a lot of people that have very similar complaints, and then, like you wouldn't necessarily, I guess, see it, but if you actually really dove into the show and thought of it not as a story, but of, like, how actually everything's got to line up and not, like, the most cookie-cutter Disney way, mm-hmm. I actually believe everything she did lead to that, so I actually totally believe in the Lord of Light's influence on the stuff. But, yeah, I got to the last episode... obviously Arya Stark kills the Night King, which I actually really loved, and I think it's perfect that she did
it. Spoilers. I'm just saying, people are going to like cut, like, you know, they skip through the video and they just
Part. Obviously, I'm going to put in the title we're talking about Game of Thrones, so okay. you can't have a video.
Oh, you're getting views from this. Ah, so I got to be my best behavior. Got to pop the collar now. Okay, now we're ready. This is the start of the video. You're going to cut right here. Okay, hi. It's chaos.
But so even in the second episode, I was still enjoying it.
Okay.
I thought it was really fucking cool that they, you know, really wanted to end the show. You know how sometimes shows end and they don't really end? And they give you this dissatisfied feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, very few series.
You've heard they're making, I would say, what, a spinoff or
they're making a
show
couple.
Based off of, I feel like they're trying to wrap it up quick enough for them to, you know, start working on the next.
Well, the new show is supposedly going to take place when the Targaryens took over the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, so like a prequel.
When Aegon drove his dragons over and fucked over everyone. I think that's what they're supposed to make the show about.
I'd rather read it, and I've seen videos about.
You'd rather read it after that whole spew on Twitter?
Well, what I'm saying is I'd rather have, I'd rather have like that story just be lore and just be, you know, written down or in video.
I mean, that's what it is. That is actually.
I know, but for them to make another series, like an actual show about it, I wouldn't
want
to watch
that. Those books exist, so that is lore, technically.
True, but what I'm saying is once they make it into a full-blown show, I probably wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it with my guests? They come on here and just want to
We're really into it, you know? We're really engaged. But, I wouldn't be interested in the past life before.
That's bullshit. That show comes out, you're going to watch it just like everybody else. I fucking can't wait for that show.
See, I like Game of Thrones. Even the last season, like we said, it has some issues, but even watching the slow moments, I enjoy a lot.
Well, see, I was getting to it. Like, the third episode that just came on,
yeah,
I did not enjoy that episode. But I think it was purposely designed for me not to enjoy
it. Yeah,
which is crazy.
You know, the slow moments, like, let's say season one and two, it's mainly based off their storytelling and about, you know, the Mad King. And just watching what I've heard before, I wouldn't want to, like I said, watch a new season about what's happened because it's already been explained.
But this is way before the Mad King. You know that, right?
Before
like the show,
Mad King.
The show, yeah. What? That's way after they got...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're talking like thousands of years ago.
Okay, I remember. Yeah, okay. But I still wouldn't...
You're not a real fan.
I wouldn't watch that, though.
Well, now I believe you because you don't even have any idea.
No, I do. I do because, okay, so...
What? You put your hands below the table. You're too animated. Play with your legs.
So the Targaryens were a culture of incest. I know that. And they were like, they married and they conquered. But I don't remember. I don't understand the in between that and the Mad King.
Well, that's what the show's going to cover.
Yeah, but to have it
and
vague.
And I have another theory about the Targaryens.
Okay.
All right. So you know how Daenerys Targaryen banged Drogo and they had a son? But it came out like half dragon, half screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
I always assumed it was because what the witch was doing. But I actually think about it, like when you go back through like the Targaryens history and they wed brothers and sisters, cousins and stuff like that together. I actually think that if a Targaryen sleeps with a non-Targaryen, that always happens. And that's actually the reason why they would marry them together out of necessity. Because if they didn't have two Targaryens or dragon-blooded people screw each other, then they wouldn't be able to
have
kids. I'm
going
to
turn you down on that one.
Why?
How come Jon Snow is Jon Snow? He's okay.
Fuck. Well, no, he's half dragon.
Half, though. Half. Like.
Oh, yeah, you got me there. Yeah, you got me there.
So, I mean, I understand where you're
coming
from.
Well, there's also a thing where the Starks have a shared lineage with the Targaryens from back in the day, apparently. I don't know. I haven't read any of the old books, but they have like this. Like, the book's lore and the show's lore is different. Like, the Night King is a completely different freaking person in the books.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, no, you got me there. I didn't even think about that. Like, how in the hell did Jon Snow? Because he's definitely half Stark, half Targaryen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I had this thing where I thought maybe that was because she's always saying I can never have children.
There might be an issue with the Dothraki and...
Well, there's a lot of parts in the show that don't... They have, like, those don't add up parts. Like, there's a few parts. There's very few parts that really added up really well. And it was the Fire Priestess. Like, I didn't like her. I thought her character and
her... Didn't like her?
Well, I just thought she was this add-on to the main story that had nothing to do with it. In the end, she ended up being the whole freaking story. Like, everything she did to make sure that the Starks ended up in Winterfell to fight the Night King.
Brought back Jon Snow.
Yeah, so you talk all the stuff with Stannis, all the bullshit she made him go through.
Yeah.
She thought it was because he was the dude, but really it was the Lord of Light wanting him to lose. He had to, one, save the wall from the wildlings, and then he had to lose, and the only way he could do that was to, like, you know, or I guess how the Lord of Light could make that happen was to dissuade all of his troops, and to, you know, that's why they burned
the
daughter.
Stannis died, it was kind of lackluster. It wasn't like a crazy loss for him.
Well, he was, his whole being was lackluster. His whole story was lackluster. Yeah. It was always this guy meant for greatness and always didn't do anything.
Well, what about
that was the tragedy of his character?
Yeah. What about his son? Well, is it his son?
No, he never had a son. He had only had a daughter.
What is that guy's name that Arya screwed at the?
That was the Baratheon's bastard. That was the king.
King Robert.
Yeah,
okay,
King Robert's bastard. So
I want to know what his purpose is still, because I always thought, you know, after they revealed who he really was.
He had a lot of purposes. His purpose was, you know, helping Ned Stark learn.
Helping Arya Stark.
Helping Arya.
Learn a lot.
She helped that she was tied in with the Lord of Light again. Like she used his blood to use the leeches and shit like that. He's in the story really well.
Okay, well, the practices of the Lord of Light, I don't know if that's really something that kind of,
you know, about the prophecy?
Explain it. I don't really
the bringer know. Of the dawn, the whole light bringer, and I forget the actual quote, but he's supposed to be the one that is chosen, mm-hmm. Is supposed to vanquish everything. And she went around thinking it was all these different people, and halfway, as soon as Stannis died, she seemed like confused and lost and almost losing somewhat of her belief.
Okay.
But I think it was like, I think that's what people thought, but honestly I think her confusion and her emotions after that was because all of a sudden she felt like, because she duped people. So the Lord of Light is real, so we know that in the show it's real, he's a real thing, it's not just her trickery. But when she was showing Stannis's wife all the little gadgets she had, she was like, well, a lot of these are just to trick people into thinking.
Yeah.
You know, use a scam to let see people see the truth. So I think that her emotions after that represented her realizing, I'm one of those tricks. Like, I'm all I am. Like, the Lord of Light has a purpose. I'm not privy to it. And I'm like, some of the stuff he makes me do, it's not real, but it ends up, and she doesn't understand. All of a sudden, she wasn't empowered by the Lord of Light. She was just another pawn.
So in a way, it's kind of destiny, because let's say she didn't go ahead and burn Stannis' daughter. And that wouldn't have led to his death.
Well, he would have won Winterfell if that was the case, because he would have beat Ramsay Bolton.
Okay.
He would have.
So, like you're saying, it's all kind of led up. It's like a destiny. It's like a prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So certain things had to happen in order for...
Yeah, so if you actually look back at all the freaking terrible things she did, it all, every single thing she did, every single thing, ended up with, I forget his name, the Baratheon bastard. I always forget his name. It starts with a G. I don't know why, it just slips my mind.
Greg. No.
Yeah, this is Greg.
Jerome. No, not Jerome.
Anyway, see, so he, everything she did, is, so he would end up at Winterfell making the weapons. So Arya Stark would end up doing this. And, you know, obviously Jon Snow would end up leading the charge and Daenerys Targaryen. Everything ended up adding up so perfectly. And her character was there. And as much as you want to be like proud of the writers for that, there's this prophecy that, like, where was this supposed to happen? Is Jon this guy? You know, but he didn't vanquish it. Arya is the one who actually killed the person. So is she supposed to be the bringer of light?
She has powers, to be honest.
It seems like they had this story. They could either have done the prophecy story or they could have done the Arya story. And they picked the much more interesting one, Arya.
I kind of want to spoil Game of Thrones, the last season.
We've been spoiling it this whole
time. Well, I know how it ends.
Oh, so don't. See, I've avoided leaks. Don't. I mean, leaks aren't really going to, you know. I haven't seen any of the leaks.
Okay. I'm going to give you this.
No,
right?
I don't want to.
No, I'm going to explain this. No. So Arya, right?
Yeah. Did you enjoy her killing the Night King? Let's start there.
Oh, of course. That was like the
Some people didn't like it. I was like, you got to
be kidding.
The way
she caught like the knife, it was just like, she caught it. Just,
her whole entire story, for the most part, was dumb pointless until she did that, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
she was going through all this stuff, and all she was the revenge.
In that sequence, I forgot she was running away in that tunnel. And then at the end, she kind of just popped out of nowhere, you know, behind
tunnel.
The
in the library. Oh, no, she got the Lord of
the library, yeah.
The fire priestess told her, hey, you're going to close Blue Eyes, too. And she all of a sudden realized.
I didn't think about that as I was watching the episode, because she was running away. The guy with the patch, what is his name? The guy with the most ridiculous name.
I never remember his
name.
Either.
The flame sword guy. He died. So after that point, I forgot about her running away. And all of a sudden, she's just behind the Night King.
Well, she went to go kill the Night King. She
I
went
know,
running
like,
away.
There was a gap, though. There was a big gap of just...
Well, that was purpose. It's for you
I
to
know,
forget that
she
was out
there. The way they filmed
there.
It was insane, because it was just like she soared out and just...
I thought it was perfect. I actually really enjoyed that. The only thing that sucked after that, or the only reason why I didn't like that, or I actually enjoyed the episode. It wasn't until the third episode, which I kind of like... Like, almost disliked
they
how they're doing it.
They and they kind of celebrated.
Well, no, it's just they're ending everything. And I naturally don't want the show to end. And they're properly ending it. Like, they properly ended the Night King. And it's one of those things, like, they properly ended it. Good job. But like, I didn't want it to end. I wanted everything to end all in like the last episode. But Game of Thrones has never done that. They ended everything on like the 9th episode of the series. Yeah. And then the 10th one set you up for the next season. So it was kind of predictable. But I wanted to come on here and really talk about the last episode. Well, because that's the one everyone doesn't like. People were pissed at the second episode. But it's just like, everyone's like, you're a whiny bitch. Like, you can't, like, the show's ending. We get it. You don't like it that it's ending. But then the third episode came out. And it literally made me dislike every character in the show. There's not a character right now that I'm not annoyed with. Like, every single one of them.
The only character that did his purpose was Varys, the bald guy. Like, he's still true to his character, you know, because...
He is, like, yeah. Varys has always been good, because he's the only one telling Daenerys Targaryen what an idiot she is.
Yeah, but at the same time, at the end, remember, he was kind of, you know, leaning towards another side. He was always loyal to the realm.
Oh, no, he's given up on Daenerys. As soon as she disagreed with him about burning King's Landing, exactly. She's like, I'm going with
Jon. People would hate him for that, but that's his character. Like, he's going to stick to that. Everyone else is kind of like...
All right, well, let's go through the list of characters.
Wait, I do have two theories, though.
About what?
About the Night King, which I'll probably explain later.
Well, but there's... Okay.
Arya. Arya had the whole, like, she's no one, right? She has the face
changing. Well, no, she's Arya Stark. She didn't complete her training.
I get that. But for her to still have all the other skills that she has and possesses, like, I feel like she might use some sort of face swapping to kill Cersei at the end.
That would be cool. Just like she did all the, oh, God, we're supposed to be super fans and I forget all the names.
But we wouldn't even know it until she reveals it, you know? Cersei might die and then all of a sudden you just see the face get torn off.
You know how I think they do that? If they did that? All of a sudden, like, we'd be watching a normal scene.
Yeah.
And then you'd see the Hound looking towards Cersei, and then freaking what's-her-face would pop out because they're together going towards the...
Don't forget, there has to be a battle between the Hound and the Mountain. There still has to be some...
Oh, that's going to happen.
And yeah, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be... Eh.
All right, so I want to go through, like, all the characters, because, like, let's start with the main one, Jon Snow.
Okay.
He didn't pet Ghost. And I know the reason why, because the creators tweeted out that it would cost them too much CGI, and that's the reason why the...
Wait, whoa, huh?
Yeah, so the reason, it's actually a common theme throughout the show, because they spend so much money on CGI for the dragons, they never had a whole big budget left over for the dogs, or for ghosts, or for any of them, for the direwolves.
Yeah.
So in a lot of scenes, they're like, the people complained, like, why are the direwolves never in the show that much, you know, how come they're not playing, you know, more of a role, and when they are, they're usually these really crappy, like, statues, and they're like, the reason, they actually came out and said the reason why Jon Snow did not pet Ghost when he left is because of cost. It would cost too much CGI because the wolves are 100% CGI generated.
Okay. I never grew up with pets or dogs. Like, I just had goldfish. So
no, that pissed me off. That actually pissed me off. I was watching it and the ghost was all sad and he just left him there. And it was just like, okay, I get it. And the reason why it's okay is because he said the ghost would be happier in the wild. And Nymeria, Arya, how do I remember the name of her dog? Nymeria, Arya's dog, and I can't remember anything else. She met her old wolf, and she had this whole pack, and she was like, oh, it's not you, you're happy. So, like, okay, I feel like the direwolves will be better off, but yeah. So Jon Snow, then his blind loyalty. So everything that used to make Neddard Stark and Jon Snow so awesome was their just blind loyalty. And for the first time, I'm starting to get pissed at him for it. It's like, obviously he loves Daenerys Targaryen, but it's so blind loyal to it. It's just like, dude, you're supposed to be the guy. You're the golden
exact
guy.
Scene. They were like planning stuff out and he got pussy whipped right in the middle.
Yeah, he's pussy whipped this shit.
He literally just like swapped.
He's a little bitch. He was like the freaking dude.
He hit the reverse Uno card and he kind of just.
You know who he reminds me of? You know when you have a friend that has like a really bad girlfriend and you're always like, you know, you're a smart dude. Like, why are you being such a little bitch?
Yeah.
Is that when you get mad at your friend and when he's like, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, like. And you just kind of get mad at him. You're not really mad at him, but you're mad at him. That's the same thing I'm feeling about Jon Snow. It's just like you are with a bad girlfriend, and you're just being stupid.
I'm okay with it, to be honest. I feel like he should just follow Daenerys, and because you can tell she's getting pissed. You know?
Oh no, she's losing all control. Oh, yeah. She's not listening to her advisors. Her
the
advisors
whole Starbucks
don't like
scene. She was jealous. Like she was pissed, and I think that was intentional. The cup. Like if I were a filmmaker, and it's like a big show, and it's just like. You take so many takes.
No, this is bullshit. I don't know how in the hell they
have so many takes to do that. That whole scene was, I realized, like kind of a one-shot scene.
No, that was not. It wasn't single camera.
Well, not a single camera. But what I'm saying is, like they're doing their takes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have different angles and whatnot, but it's still like a you do the scene. But I'm sure you do that scene more than once.
Oh, 100%. But I think the reason why, like everyone, the cup was such a big deal. One, because it's funny. Because there's Game of Thrones is the biggest show that's almost ever happened. So the fact that they had let that happen, yeah, it's pretty huge. And I'm an editor, so I sometimes miss stuff. So I kind of see how when you're concentrating on stuff, on the real subject matter, you can miss that. But the
whose fault is it?
Well, the reason why it's so funny is everyone's bitching about they rushed this last season. They've rushed it. It seems like they're rushing it. And then they have a huge goof of leaving a Stargate.
Anyone said anything about the cup at all or no?
Well, yeah, everybody.
Like,
did you know
writers.
They went back and edited it out?
Really?
If you go back and watch that episode on HBO right now and go back to that scene, they actually CGI went and edited that cup out, so it's no longer
there. Did the views go back to zero, and then they had to get their ratings
YouTube.
Up? Or
not that? YouTube. Okay. They just edited it. All right, well, that leads you on to the Daenerys Targaryen. I feel like we already talked about her, but where are you at with her? Are you, like, before this season, she was bae, dude. I was like, yes. Like,
great
every
actress.
Scene.
Great, you know, role model. She's out here for the slaves and the women.
She burned the Tallys, though. She had me until that point.
You know what I realized? I only realized that when I rewatched the show.
What?
That she killed
Samwell Tarly's
dad and brother, yeah.
Yeah.
I only realized that the second time watching it.
Well, that was like right when she turned for me. That's when she started becoming a person of Westeros rather than someone trying to break the wheel.
But at the same time, I'm like, yes, you finally stood up and you're done being all peaceful. Like, peaceful is not going to win a war.
Yeah, I know, but you like know? When you're the purpose of the war is peace.
How many times does that really happen? Especially in their time.
Oh, like, it's a lofty idea.
Yeah.
What she's trying to do is impossible. And that's why this last episode, I feel
pissed
like
me off so
it pissed me
bad.
Off, but I feel like it's supposed to. Like the emotions you are left at the end of every scene. The only scene that I really fucking hated, like really hated, like I've never hated a scene in that entire show. Not a single second of it I've hated. Mm-hmm. But one part, and that's the Jaime Lannister and Brienne of Tarth. Love scene. That whole thing, it was a cringy piece of shit. And then and then he leaves.
I can top that scene.
What's the name one scene worse than that?
I'm sorry for all the music fans out there, but the Ed Sheeran scene was very cringy and pointless.
When he was singing at the wedding?
No.
I don't remember. I don't know what the Ed Sheeran scene is.
Okay, so Arya Stark she just met her friend again for the second time, the cook.
Mm-hmm.
She left that area.
Hot pocket.
This is,
hot pie,
yeah, this is
like
right
that.
Before she met up with her old wolf.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that middle scene, she sees these travelers and they're singing and they're just in the forest and she mm-hmm. kind of tells them the plan.
And one of those characters, Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, he was singing. It was just his spotlight in Game of Thrones, really. But
that was a great scene.
It was a pointless scene because she was just really saying, oh, I'm going to go kill the queen.
No, I feel like it showed.
But if you rewatch that
scene, the Lannisters, like the soldiers are just the soldiers.
Of course. But if you rewatch that scene, it's really just. Yeah,
I liked that scene.
Cringy.
I like the scenes when they sing. There's a whole bunch when.
It's cringier than my collar popped up right now. It's really bad.
The second episode of this last season when the Squire, I'm like drawing a blank because we're on the spot.
Podrick.
Podrick, when he sang, like I literally rewound and rewatched that a few times. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, I really like. I can't believe you don't like that scene.
I don't understand the whole Podrick thing where he got turned down by what are they called? I don't want to say the whores, but yeah, they're pretty much whores.
No. You didn't see the little Easter egg in that last episode with Podrick?
Refresh my memory. I don't remember.
All right.
I think.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that was the worst one. No, come on. You're ruining their ears.
Ah.
All right. So Podrick, way back when he saved Tyrion, mm-hmm. Tyrion gave him a present of a whole bunch of whores at the whorehouse, right? Cool. And he came back. Well, we're not supposed to call them. They're whores. They're actual whores. And he came back and he gave the money back to Tyrion.
Fictional whores. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. And they were so amazed that he went and fucked all these whores and they gave him the money back. All right.
I never understood it. Yeah.
All right. Well, they were about to explain it. Skip towards this last episode when they're doing the drinking game right before Jaime Lannister. He drank.
Yeah. I remember that.
The reason why that they gave him the money back is he went in down there and just ate them all out. He didn't fuck any of them. He's still a virgin. So he went
that,
there.
I didn't understand that because when he drank, I'm like, wait, how are you a virgin? Because
when the whores gave him the money because
they were happy. Remember, they were so happy, like, oh my.
Well, when the whores service the dudes, the dudes give them the money. Well, he came there and serviced the girls, which is probably the first thing they've probably never had that happen before.
See.
So they were like, well, oh my God, he's the whore in this scenario. We should pay him, or at least keep your money. And that's the reason why. I didn't see anyone tweet about that.
I see.
But that's the Easter egg there.
That. Yeah. Okay, because
so he didn't bang any of them. He just serviced all them, and that's why they gave him the money back.
I do remember them saying, oh my God, your squire's just an amazing person, like stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, how are you getting the money back if I didn't get it? I never caught on.
Well, here, so here's it also ties into this other theme where back in this time, dudes didn't eat out girls.
Jon Snow did.
I know. There we go. So, you know, this is where I got this theory from. When he did that to Ygritte.
It's called, what is it? The fellation, no, Cotylingus. Hey, let's proper terminology here.
Okay. Well, when he did that, when he did that to Ygritte, she was like, what's that thing you do with your tongue? Is that what people in Westeros do?
With the
and she said, he was like, I'd have never done that before. I just felt like kissing you there.
Yeah.
So when Podrick did that to the whores, they had never had that before. And then when I think somebody was asking the head, I forgot her name too, the redhead from the Stark castle, when they were asking him,
Sansa Stark?
No, what, the whore?
Oh!
Anyways.
Yeah.
So her, she said that those girls said that it was hard to describe. And the reason why is because that's just cuddlingus or whatever, is not a thing in Westeros.
Yet.
Well, now it's starting to be a thing. Jon Snow and, you know, Podrick came in and they're breaking the seal on pleasing women. Because you got to think, it's a pretty male-dominated society.
Well, if Daenerys rules and she wins, like, it'll be a known
thing. Yeah, dudes are going to get on their knees all over the Seven Kingdoms.
Maybe that's how it should be. Men should get on their knees and the women should rise up and just be the rulers of the world, you know?
And the receivers of fellatio.
I don't know what happened between then and now, you know? I feel like there was, like, a gap where there's male presidents and leaders, and like we need a strong female leader. You know?
I don't think there's been a. Well, I think the Targaryens had some really powerful, like the sisters, the Dark Sisters. Oh no, that was the name of her sword. The sisters of the Aegon Targaryen, the guy who conquered, were pretty powerful. But I don't think Westeros has ever had a female queen before Cersei. Mm-hmm. And then so like to go continue down the list of characters, everyone I'm mad at. Who else was I mad at? There's just so many people that pissed me off. Bran's character pissed me off. Because he's just like, now he's just like I never understood. I guess I had a problem in the second episode when Samwell Tarly, of this season, when he was like explaining why the Night King will come after him because he's the world's memory. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're the world's memory and now you're the most important thing to kill. Why wouldn't he attack the Citadel then? Because the Citadel's got books on absolutely everything.
Well, I feel like that can be burned easily. And actually,
so can Bran.
Documented.
Bran can be burned.
True. Yeah.
So I always thought when they all jumped and instantly agreed with he was the most important thing, Bran all of a sudden is the most important thing in this fight. It just seemed like they made that connection way too fast because he's the memory of the world. Yeah. I get it, but he's like, there's the Citadel.
Have you ever seen the movie Spawn?
Yes, I love that movie.
I've never seen it, but I feel like if your name's Spawn, right, you can spawn back to life. Or unless is he dead?
Who?
Spawn, the character.
No.
Okay, either
he's
way.
He's in hell.
I feel like there's a Night King thing where he can respawn.
Well, see, that's the good...
It was just too easy. If you think about it, the only thing that can kill White Walkers is Dragonglass, right? Mm-hmm. And Dragonfire.
I mean, that's an interesting...
But, right, when the Night
Dragon King... Dragonfire can't kill White Walker.
That's what they were saying. Yeah, there was one episode where they were saying only Dragonfire and...
That can kill the White Walkers, but not...
They can be risen back after that, though.
Yeah, so here's the theory. So, like, the Night King died, but has he died before? And that's the reason why it had been 2,000 years since they had roamed, because maybe he dies and then has to wait that long to come back.
I do think, though, because there was a part where he was pretty much shot fire at, the Night King, and it just there was a scene where it just kind of...
It didn't hurt him at all, yeah.
Exactly.
No. So Dragonfire only kills, not the White Walkers, but kills the Walkers, the dead people.
I know, but there has to be a difference between the White Walkers, his guardmen, you know, the guys with the long hair, and the Night King himself. Like, I don't think it's that easy to kill.
Well, no, all right, so all right, the Night King... All right, so the Night King and the White Walkers are humans that are created into White Walkers.
Exactly.
Whereas their armies and everything else are dead shit they brought back to life. So that's the difference between those two. So all of his homies, if you're ever wondering where they came from, that was all the dude's babies, all
that's
the sons.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's a clear difference
for
White Walkers to be killed that easy. But if it's Night King and you kill one guy, it's kind of like a beehive situation.
Yeah, he killed the queen.
It's just so, it has to be a trick. It has to be smoke
and
mirrors.
Well, this show, this show always makes it seem impossible and then out of nowhere. But we've known that was the key to beating him for so long. Like, they've been building that up since, like, 3 seasons ago, that was how... As soon as they went to go get the dead person to prove to what's-his-face that they are still alive, when Jon Snow killed one of them and all the homies around him died.
It seemed too easy.
It did. See, it did because the show's ending.
You've seen everything in action. You've seen the White Walkers.
How else
attack.
Would you want the
you've
Night King to
his,
die?
Remember that scene? I think it was season 5 where the guardsmen, the White Walkers guard, they were like dodging shit. They were like tall and they were like fighting. The Night King, you haven't seen him do any action at all.
He threw some spears.
He turned around and caught Arya midair, but like he threw a spear. Yeah.
Well, that's how criminal organizations work. How often do you see the mob boss whack somebody? Never. He's the guy behind. He's the Wizard of Oz behind the cloak.
So easy. And his nose was bad. Like if he has a bad nose, you know he's.
Oh, what's it with you and noses?
His nose wasn't great.
It's just so weird.
But yeah, I was pissed at the Night King.
Yeah. Well, that's how I think that if
he let himself die too easy.
Well, he had to die. Like it's almost like he had to die. I think that people's main issue is how early in the 8th season he died. He died in the 3rd episode, and then there was like, oh, now we had 3 episodes left for just Cersei. And I saw that tweet. I agreed, but then I thought about it. The Night King has been in maybe 8 scenes throughout the whole show, whereas they've been building Cersei up since the very first episode, and she's been in every single episode. So like, as much as you don't like to admit it, the Night King and all that shit, that was a side plot. That was not the plot of the show. That was just something that was like a looming death. Something that could happen.
And Jon Snow together in a way.
It just wasn't the main story. So when they died and everyone's like, well, the show's over now. We have 3 more episodes with nothing to do. It's like, hold up. The Night King was nothing but a side character the whole entire time. He wasn't an origin story for anybody. He almost had nothing to do with the whole of Westeros and everybody, a whole rest of the world that doesn't seem to even know they exist.
Mm-hmm. See, I was always rooting for Cersei until this last episode. Last episode.
Yeah, no, I was rooting for Cersei when she blew up the religious temple. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But now, like, she's too real. Like, how she's winning is how bad people win in real life. And that's the reason why I didn't like the last episode. Her character, and just the whole plot, actually. Not just her character, the plot pissed me off because it was too real. Yeah. Like, you know, she brings all the people into the Red Keep, offering them protection. They're like, oh, thank you, you're protecting us. But really, she's using them as human shields. It's like, that's how bad people do shit in real life.
Oh, of course.
Like, that's literally Twitter in a scene. Like, but, when all the worst people paint themselves as the best people, and everyone falls for it.
What made me really change my side was the way they killed Missandei, is it?
No.
That was just, like...
She was, like, my favorite character.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
That scene pissed me off.
I wanted to cry. Like, I actually, like, in the show, like, that's... You get attached to these characters, and it's like, what? Why?
It pissed me off of how they filmed that shot. Now, I know they were trying to do another thing, like, you know when...
The dragon was wide open.
You know when Daenerys Targaryen always met with, like, the Second Sons, and she also met with the slavers, and they would have this freaking meeting to talk about war before they did it? And then they did the same thing here, except for they're on the wall, and they have all their troops on the ground. I was like, if I'm Cersei Lannister... One, I would have killed Tyrion the 2 times because she's this evil person, but apparently she can't kill her own family. That's like her one thing that she can't do. But then why didn't she just slaughter all of them? They were all right there, Daenerys, all her things, and all she did was kill Missandei, and it's just like, what was she afraid of? Was she going to kill Daenerys there, and then her armies were going to attack? They're going to attack anyway.
I want to know how the next episode picks up. Like, is it going to start right to Daenerys hopping on the dragon?
Or it better.
I wouldn't
have thought they would do that, but after episode 2, I mean, fuck yeah.
You saw
that.
What those arrows did to the boat, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the dragon, like, I was not expecting that.
The ballistas, it also pisses me off. It's just they have all this technology. It's like, why haven't they discovered gunpowder yet?
Yeah, it would have been too easy.
Oh, it would have ruined the show, everything, because it's a sword fighting show.
If there were
but
guns around, there would be no dragons ever.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, it also pissed me off, that scene as well. That was
the
another
dragon was in the back, just chilling. Like, they could have shot it.
No, when they sank all of her boats at Stonehenge or whatever. What is the name of that?
Stonehenge.
What's the name of that castle?
Storm's
End? Storm's End. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, so when they park all the boats there, and she's running away from the ballistas. She charged down there after they killed one of her dragons.
Wait, who
she ran
this?
Away. Daenerys Targaryen. So they shot the ballistas, killed one of her dragons, and then she ran away, leaving her people to get captured.
Yeah.
All right. What pissed me off is that why didn't she just fly around to the back of the boats? Like, she could. Why couldn't you have just flown around to the back of the boats and hit them with fire?
Remember,
the ballistas are only on the front.
They were pivoting, though. They had a way to rotate it now.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to turn around and shoot at their own sails? The damn ballistas are at the front.
She wasn't going to risk it. Even though she did fly in, and of course, another ballista missed her by an inch again.
Yeah.
I feel like this happened so many times. The Night King fucking aimbotting it and fucking doing that. you know?
Yeah, it's like almost like the reason why, like, I found this last episode so interesting is because I hated it, but I feel like the show wanted you to dislike what you were seeing. Because it's like they made it, they almost want to set up the show where, like, everyone's just frustrating you, and then they give you a big payoff, and they give you everything you need. So, like, the Daenerys' whole quest is just fraught with this, you know, just contradictory thing. She wants to win a war to instill peace, but she can't do, and all her advisors tell her she can't do all these things. And because she can't do all those things, Cersei's whooping her ass and will always win because she can fight a war, whereas Daenerys isn't fighting a war. She's trying to kill one person, not kill an army or take over a castle. So you just get frustrated watching it when Daenerys, like, keeps losing. And you feel like she could easily win. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, she's losing, but it's okay because she could easily win. Now, there's no easy path to victory.
I honestly don't think she's fighting just one person. I think,
she's fighting Cersei. She's,
in a way, in her mind, what I see is her fighting herself. She keeps finding herself getting defeated. And remember that scene where she turns around and she's literally, like, pissed. She's feeling, like, held back and always pushed back because
she's
the
frustrated.
Goal is, like, yeah, it's just, like, it's right there. And I feel like she doesn't even see Cersei. I feel like she doesn't even see the army. She's still just seeing that throne and wanting it. And all these people are just...
Yeah, that's also interesting is that she's not from Westeros. So when she killed the Tullys and she's dealing with all these people, she's getting so mad because she wants this throne. And she's surrounded by all these people she doesn't know. So then when she killed the Tarleys, she just thought she was killing one of her enemies. And then she met Samwell.
Exactly.
And she's starting to see that this Westeros place is really small.
The only person,
everyone knows each other.
That last episode as well, I only think she sees Jon Snow.
What do you mean?
I don't know if as a threat she sees him.
Definitely sees him as a threat.
Or someone just in her way again. You know, I feel like she definitely is...
Oh, no, 100%. I actually have a scene that I can explain to you that literally illustrates that exact point.
Where she was there and the
I got a better scene. Okay. I got a better scene. All right, so her and Jon Snow are about to hook up. So they already know each other. They're about to hook up, all right, and then they stop.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came out of their mouths wasn't, we shouldn't do this, we're aunt and uncle or aunt and nephew or cousin. I think they're aunt and nephew.
Yeah.
So, but that wasn't a thing at all. They were talking about, they were turned off by each other because they are basically competing for the throne or they have these different things. But it's you were completely ignoring the incest part. So if you're going to completely ignore that part, that must mean your only thoughts.
Incest is okay back then, though.
I mean, it is and it isn't. It's
that's why I was always rooting for Cersei. Okay. Like, yeah, it was like, it was like, a wow, it was a thrill, you know?
That's because of you and your whole sister thing.
I don't have a sister, so it's okay.
Yeah, God.
So, you know, but what I'm saying is, like, I understand what you're saying.
I just thought that was really funny. I'm watching the scene, and they backed off of each other, and I'm like, I'm expecting one of them to say, hey, we're related. But they ended up talking about the throne. I was like, you one-minded, one-track fucking people. All you care about is the throne. And it really hurt her character in my mind. Mm-hmm. I used to think she was, like, the biggest promise for Westeros. And now we know Jon Snow is actually the way better choice and like 1,000 different reasons.
He doesn't want it, though.
Well, isn't that what makes a good king? When someone has a lot of power, isn't it something that maybe they're supposed to take reluctantly or take for a limited time?
I can see what's going to happen. Jon Snow's going to, what's the word? Sacrifice himself so she can rule.
No, I think Daenerys is going to die.
She's going to
it's
die.
The only way.
But she's going to die only after he sacrifices himself. I can already see it.
Then who's going to lead?
Who do you think?
If they both die, who's
think
left?
About
Tyrion?
It. Think, yep.
You want Tyrion to be?
I don't want it, but it's going to happen. I mean, it might actually work. Like, I can see that happening.
Tyrion, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
No, there's no way.
You know why?
All the lords of Westeros don't like him as well.
You know why?
What?
You know why Jaime went back? Remember that last scene he was saying, he's done all this stuff for Cersei. He's done this and this for Cersei. I feel like at this point, he's doing what Cersei...
His character doesn't make sense at this point. Like, Jaime's Lannister switching back and forth.
That's why I think there's something there.
He loves Cersei that much that he can't get rid of her in his mind.
I feel like he's going to come back and kill Cersei.
No.
Yes.
He'll kill Euron. 100%. He'll kill Euron Greyjoy.
He might kill them both.
Actually, Euron, I think Euron's going to find out that it's Jaime Lannister's kid and come after Jaime, and Jaime's going to kill him.
Jaime's going to, kill
Euron Greyjoy.
And that just leaves Cersei and Jaime to talk out whatever happened.
Yeah, I think the only way the show, like, I haven't seen any of the spoilers. Tyrion. So there's people that apparently the scripts have leaked, so people have been tweeting out spoilers. Oh. The way I think the show is going to end, if I had to predict it, is Tyrion. I think, Tyrion, as much as that would be awesome, he's not a good character.
Varys is going to
He's run. Not a good character either for it to be the king.
Yeah.
But I honestly, how I think it is, in the war, like, I think Cersei's going to die, like, at the same time, or someone's going to die at the same time as Daenerys. And she's going to die, and Jon Snow's reluctantly going to take the throne. And that's the only way that Jon Snow would take it. I feel like the only way Jon Snow would take the Iron Throne is if Daenerys died. It's the only way. Because she's not going to give it to him. And I honestly feel like that's going to be somehow the ending. They're going to go to war. Like, all right, so let's kind of, you want to, like, just try to guess? So episode.
I already know.
What do you think is going to happen in episode? You already know.
I already know. I mean, I don't know the leaks. I just know from based off the characters. I think I know that I'm right. That I know.
All right. So episode 4. I think it's just going to be a bunch of war scenes, and they're going to beat back their defenses, and Cersei Lannister is going to hold up in the Red Keep, and that's where the episode's going to end. They've broken into King's Landing. They're already there, and all they have to do is get into this last castle. And I think Daenerys is going to die, because they always do a huge death in the second to last episode. So Daenerys Targaryen is going to die.
How many episodes are there?
6. So in the 5th episode, Daenerys Targaryen is going to die. And then in the 5th episode, in the 6th episode is all going to be about Jon Snow taking the throne. And that's it. That's my prediction.
If that's the last episode, I definitely see, if that's how it might happen, I definitely see Jon Snow getting assassinated.
By who?
Definitely.
That would piss me off.
It's like a few years later, I definitely say. Like, maybe 5 years later.
You think they're going to do that?
I definitely see that.
They've never done time jumps that much. They've done time jumps a couple times, but they're never really that significant.
It's like always between seasons.
Yeah, and they don't do it, I think, because they wanted to keep a lot of the same characters, the same thing, and the way they aged a lot of the times. That's why they replaced so many different characters with different actors, as they were growing up too fast.
Oh, okay, that pissed me. Okay, what season was it? Was it season 2 or 3? What was that one guy, that sleek guy who was trying to impress Daenerys?
Oh, Dejarion Daharis.
That guy. The first actor was great. And I was trying to look into it, why the guy...
He definitely looked tougher.
Tougher and a little more, you know...
Mysterious.
Sneaky and mysterious. And then all of a sudden, the next season, it was just like...
Well, I actually watched one of those YouTube videos.
Yeah, same. And I was reading the article, and the guy was just like...
He had a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
And he picked some bullshit show over Game of Thrones. And he said he still doesn't regret the decision. I'm like, bro, you should regret that decision.
Like, he played that character. I felt like that other guy could.
There was a bunch of characters that changed. Like, literally so many. Tommen's character changed. Both Cersei's kids besides Joffrey changed. The Mountain changed.
The
Mountain's been 3 different actors.
Yeah, well, he's under that.
Yeah, the Three-Eyed Raven changed between seasons.
The old man.
Mm-hmm. He was a different guy twice. He was a different character. There was a bunch of people that changed characters, but the one that really stood out the most was that Denario Daharis. Yeah. I can't say his name. I'm a big fan of the show. I promise. It's just when you're on the spot, I just forget the names.
I've seen 2 episodes.
Well, it's just because I know that.
Watch the rest on Twitter.
I know all the characters, but I rarely ever say their names out loud.
Yeah.
So you can hear. I can think of it, but I can't like pronounce it or anything like that. Which is funny. Did you know they actually developed real languages for the show?
The Dothraki language.
Dothraki has like 3,000 words. Yeah, and Valyrian has a whole bunch too.
But, I mean, that pissed me off. I feel like the only thing really. And then the last episode, the whole Sansa thing. How she just...
Sansa.
What? That pissed me off, dude. Yeah. Whoa. Listen, doesn't matter, right?
I don't know. Her character
You know what pissed me off? What? Remember how Jon Snow said, "Can you swear it to me?" And she literally just, "I swear it." And then all of a sudden just
you didn't think, telling everyone. I mean, that was obvious.
It was obvious, but like just...
Arya is like just like Jon. She's just like her dad.
Course.
So she wasn't going to tell nobody. But Sansa...
She keeps doing that. Remember she interrupted
well, she
him
needs
that one time.
To. Think of who her influences have been. Mm-hmm. She left her dad and everybody when she was, 14? So for the last 8 years... She's had, you know, Littlefinger and Cersei, and she's almost like idolized them after hating them. Same thing with Ramsay, but he wasn't smart. He was just cruel. So she idolizes these, not in the sense that she wants to be them, but she realizes that there's no cute and fluffy in this world. There isn't. You have to be, you got to be a little dirty to survive.
Yeah.
So her doing that, like, it pissed me off. It made me dislike her character a little bit, but she needed to do it. She had to.
Definitely wants to be the ruler of Winterfell. You can tell. She wants to run stuff. She wants to...
Well, no, she doesn't. She wants the right person to do it. She likes Jon in charge.
She wants Jon to do it, but she definitely sees him going in the wrong direction with Daenerys.
No, if anything, she wanted him to stay. The fact that when she found out that Jon probably wouldn't ever come back to Winterfell because he was going to go down to the Red Keep and rule with Daenerys, because they're apparently... Like, that's the other possibility.
But you remember what Tyrion said to her the last time they spoke, right? Like, he pretty much told Sansa that she's the right one to... rule Winterfell.
Well, yeah,
I think
she
understands that now. She's going to go for
but she
it.
Yeah, well, she was going to get that regardless. The reason why she said all that shit was because she wants Jon Snow, Jon Targaryen, or what is this? Aegon Targaryen. What's his real name? Aegon Targaryen. Yeah. To rule.
He doesn't even know the characters.
I know. This actually makes us look so bad for Game of Thrones fans.
I'm on my shit.
But there was a couple other things. Like,
talking about.
Like, Sansa's character, she was the character that least pissed me off. Because she kept with her character. Everyone else's characters seem to make a freaking right turn out of nowhere. Maybe it's because they just went through a huge battle and they have a new lease on life, so that makes kind of sense.
I mean, not everyone. Tyrion seems pretty
solid. No, Tyrion's, you're starting to realize that Tyrion's not as smart as he thinks he is.
I mean, he never really was, but he was kind of put in that position to be.
Well, there's like, I always liked when he said, I ran into a problem common to clever people, and I overestimated or I mistrusted my enemy or I overestimated the other person. And I feel like that one line explains him. Like, he's really smart, but sometimes being really smart, you overthink and you ignore the very obvious, thinking there's some dark rooted root behind it. Like, there's another way to take the capital or all that stuff. When she's going around murdering all the families of everybody else and doing all those wars, it's like, honestly, the would have been terrible, but had you just flown your dragon as soon as you landed at Storm's End, right up to the Red Keep, just killed Cersei before she was ready?
Who really knows how to control that dragon?
She didn't have the Golden Company.
Like, what are you pulling on to, like, turn it left, you know?
Well, they got the spikes.
Ah.
No. I think the dragons, just like dogs, prefer... they're social creatures. So imagine, like, you know...
I can eat you.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like, and there's, we don't know the intelligence of dragons either. And that's, like, that's what I had felt the same way. And I always thought that was a huge gap of how she trained these dragons. How would you train a dragon? Like, how would you not make it? How would you tame it, which you can't? Which was said in the show. So the way I explained away all that in my head and just ignored it is that we don't know the intelligence of dragons. They could be as smart as us.
They actually are, because I mean they can sense who Jon was before.
They can sense happiness. They can always tell when she needs help. They can tell what she wants them to do.
Yeah.
Like, she knows, they know who to burn and who not to burn. Like, they, so I would honestly think that the dragons are pretty intelligent, and that's why they grow small and die when they were caged. It's because where do you see that happening? Like in zoos or something like that. But even in zoos, if elephants don't shrink. But if you put a human,
well, that's
if you put a high, yeah. But if you put a highly intelligent creature in a cage, they deteriorate, and it's because highly intelligent creatures are social. And the only reason why we know that is comparing us to primates. That's like, and dolphins. They're like the two most social creatures in the world with the highest.
Dolphins use a lot more brain power than we do. They use what, 30%?
Did you ever play Echo? The video game on Sega Genesis.
No,
it was like one of my favorites.
I'm not really that old.
It's the only cool thing dolphins have ever done.
Echolocation?
You see, you played the show. Or that played the game. That was the game.
I mean, I know you used about echolocation. Dolphins. Wait, what? I've never played the game. I just know about echolocation.
Right, what other characters are there in Game of Thrones? Who else? I had a list because I was thinking about this after the episode. I was angry at everyone and I had such a good reason. Oh, I'm also angry at the Onion Knight. He pisses me off. He's been in five battles.
I know his name.
Stannis is Hand of the King. He's the Onion Knight. I call him the Onion Knight.
Bravo. He's from Braavos. What is this guy's name?
I'm forgetting all the freaking names.
Sir.
You're
Davos.
Davos. Davos. Okay, good shit. All right, so he pisses me off. He's been in every single battle.
Why don't we do this whole thing with an accent?
What?
We should just do this whole pop. Let's restart. He's from Braavos, okay.
We've been talking for like 30 minutes.
Go on with your point.
Anyway, so he keeps... I hate you, bro. So, like, Davos, like, he keeps surviving all these battles. And especially, like, when the scene when he's looking at Arya. The whole point of the scene was no one's seen Arya fight besides when she sparred with Brienne of Tarth. And he's sitting there amazed. And he's just standing there. and all this shit's going on, and then you see Samuel Tarly stabbing people, and then Davos, you never even see him fight ever, and he just keeps surviving. Yeah. And they they never show him hiding, and it's just like, bro, like, you know he's got to be hiding.
I got it. Just by you saying that, I got it.
What?
He was the king's hand to Stannis, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
What if Melisandre, the Red Witch, mistaken the two, and he was supposed to be the chosen one?
But he didn't kill. Arya's the one that killed the Night King.
No. I get that.
And that was what the prophecy was about.
No, I understand that, but maybe he's just the one to kind of lead, rule. He was, remember the Battle of the Bastards?
So now you think Davos is going to be on the Iron Throne? You're fucking high.
Thank
you. You're
about
high.
It.
There's no way you actually.
Like
think
you
that.
Just said, he survived through all this stuff. He was at the Battle of the Bastards. He was literally the one saying, "Go, man!" And he's just out there. He's missing fingers. Like, if you're missing fingers, and you're not Jaime,
I just
you're
figured
doing
he'd be in the crypt.
Right.
Like, maybe I missed the part in the scene where he actually holds a sword and fights, but because there was so much going on.
He's been through all this. He doesn't really have a house name that's like that big, you know? It's like,
yeah, he does.
Maybe
he got made by Stannis. He's got his own sigil. But, he's the Onion Knight.
But is Stannis really worthy of giving him all that? Like,
Stannis was technically not the rightful king, but the rightful king after the Targaryens were pushed aside.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean by that.
The Baratheons were never supposed to be there.
Exactly. The Targaryens, like, their line of succession was blood related. Everyone else, they were literally the rebels that took over.
But if you think about his backstory, and you hear this a lot in other stories, like, if you're just nothing, you just become an onion farmer and a smuggler. Like,
I actually really like his
think
character.
About it.
But he just pissed me off that he keeps surviving. And like the one scene they show of him in that battle, he's like, "Oh, Arya can fight." And then they skip away, and it's just like, "What happened to Davos?" He was like, Arya's over there killing everything, barely surviving. Davos is over there just having a look seat. And I guess
they
didn't really piss
me
off that much.
Coming from nothing though, he might actually get everything. You thought that was Jon Snow because he was a bastard.
He's a
and
side
then it,
character.
And then it's revealed that he's more than that.
I'm moving on from Davos.
And then the show comes out, the last episode, and he's like there.
Oh, we'll all hail you as king if you're right. But
Tyrion, Davos, or
Davos.
It's Davos.
Whatever.
He's from Braavos. Remember, mate?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe everyone else pronounces it different. All right, what's another character? What's the big Giant's Bane? When he got all, like, when he got dissed by Brienne of Tarth and got all emotional.
Wait.
I actually kind of like that scene.
The Wildling guy?
Yeah. Giant's Bane, the guy who drank Giant's Bane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
His like character was always so funny and so happy. It broke my heart seeing him cry. Like, it just
was,
like...
Yeah, he was drunk.
That's what I mean by the last episode was just designed to make you sad, angry, frustrated, and throw away what you had built up in your mind about each and every character.
I mean, you kind of already saw the Jaime thing and Brian.
Well, I've never really liked Jaime. I reluctantly enjoyed his character, but I've never really enjoyed him because I always felt like he was just an asshole. Like, he did a bunch of great stuff. Like, he had a really good redemption story. He kept on going up and down. But, you know, and then he had this, like, everything was excused because he loved Cersei, and you kind of understood because he was, like, this heartsick guy, and he was doing all this stuff. But, right at the end when he was listing it all off to Brienne, he convinced me, "You're right. You're a fucking asshole. You've done all these terrible things, and it's all because you love your sister," which I guess is not excusable, but is like, chipped away at it being understandable. Like, when,
well, no, because he's done everything for us. He killed the Mad King. Like, he did everything.
Yeah, but
all right,
so that was back when Cersei, you almost kind of understood Cersei because she was trying to protect her children, and you can't help who you love. But it's not the case anymore. That's not the case. She's just like everybody else. Power hungry, will do anything to keep the throne. She has any children to protect. The one she does have, she's like, doesn't even care, like, to tell, like, Jaime that, like, you know, "Hey, I'm telling these other dudes that they're the father." Like, she told Euron Greyjoy that he was the father.
Wait a minute. I think this might be Cersei and Jaime's plan, to be honest.
No, they don't have a plan.
They do have a plan.
They don't. What are they emailing each other?
Remember, they before Jaime left, they spoke and they're like, "I'll do anything for this family, and it's just us in this world." And then all of a sudden, Jaime goes and leaves, and then goes to Winterfell. But if you really think about it,
yes, because he didn't agree with Cersei backstabbing the realm.
I get that, but for him to go back, maybe they're still in it together.
All right, so two theories.
They're probably still in it together.
Two theories. Jaime Lannister, to continue what you're saying. Jaime Lannister either left Cersei because he realized that she's bad for the realm. And although he can't stop her, because that's what he should do, because he's a knight. He's still got some honor built into him. Yeah. He was like, you know what? Instead, I'm going to go fulfill my promise. And then he's up there and he realizes he's hearing all this stuff and he knows, because he's seen everybody fight together and all these valiant things happen. He knows that Cersei's not what's best for the realm. So he's either going back to kill her, like you said, or to protect her, because after he banged Brienne or something, or he just feels, I don't think he feels like he has a place. And, you know, Brienne doesn't have a place either, really. So I feel like I don't understand what changed his mind. Like, that's the reason why I'm mad at his character. He was so great and so good.
That's what I'm saying.
And then all of a sudden, he
changed.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he heard the news of Daenerys getting fucked up by Cersei, and he was going to stay in Winterfell with Brienne, who's obviously dedicated to Sansa and Arya. And Arya's already peaced out. And then he just decides to break Brienne's heart. And her character, as much as I like her character, she's not, like, I just don't enjoy watching her. Like, for some reason, like, I think she played the virgin really well. Like, her really goofy character that was obviously very virgin-like, like almost completely juvenile sense of that. I think she did that a really good job of that. But, like, their love scene wasn't something, like, when she bursted out crying, and you didn't want to ever see Brienne of Tarth cry. She was a strong, powerful woman. I wanted them to keep her that way, because I enjoyed her character being like that. So, like, that, this, the whole episode pissed me off. And I feel like everyone, like, feels the same way, but, like, I'm going to throw, like, a difference, like, I guess a caveat in there, is I think the show wanted us all to feel like this. I think they wanted us to be frustrated. They wanted us to be mad. They wanted us to hate our heroes.
At this point, it's more of a TV show now, not based on the book, so.
Well, I think the show writers are trying to show us that in this story, there's no innocence anymore. There was innocence before in small dashes. And I think it's going to come down to it's getting too real. Like, when people are always, like, half shitty, half good. Like,
I miss the disses, you know? Like, in the first few seasons, well, actually, throughout the whole show, except for this season, it seems like everyone was just throwing daggers, and it's just, like, right in front of their faces, they're just insulting each other.
Yeah, well, there was more drama.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the drama in the beginning. And now, like, it's bittersweet. They're tying up a story we love. And, you know, there's very few shows that have ended in a way that people enjoyed. Like, people, like, even though, like, every show, The Sopranos, people hated how that ended. The Office, people kind of.
Wait, what? Whoa, that was a great ending. The ending episode was amazing.
It was, but they veered off when Michael Scott left, and that last season was kind of weird. You know, no one likes when their show ends, basically.
No,
there's been very few that did well. And I like, what's funny is it's a stark contrast to Endgame. The MC universe. I feel like that was a good ending.
No.
I just saw that movie and I was like, to be honest, like, that was, I hate that they use time travel because they always do that. But
I had to read about it and watch videos after to understand their time travel, and it makes sense now, and I wasn't as, you know, mad about it, but yeah, they went to that easy.
The writers, every writer's last card in the deck is always the time travel. But I feel like they ended it well. Like that, when I saw the end of that movie, I wasn't left with anything but satisfaction.
Also, I was confused. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people were confused. When the Hulk put on the glove and he snapped, I thought at that moment watching it that they went back in time.
What?
Okay, so remember when the Hulk put the glove on, the Infinity Gauntlet, right? All the stones.
Mm-hmm.
When he snapped, I didn't realize at the time that he was just undoing everything. I thought he was altering time and going back.
But he didn't have the stones.
Yeah, they got the stones back. The Hulk. When the Hulk put the glove on.
Yeah, but when he snapped, there wasn't any stones in it.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, it was? Oh, okay.
That's how, what do you mean?
Oh, shit, I'm completely forgetting. Yeah. Duh, I'm an idiot.
But what
I liked that movie, but it was so long, and I had just woken up. I kind of dazed it now.
When that sequence confused me, because when he snapped, Thanos' flagship came out of the time travel thing. So I could have sworn they...
Oh, Thanos knew.
Yeah, they knew. I know that. I just thought the whole time they went back in time again.
I don't know. That whole movie was another clusterfuck.
Yeah, they were still in that same time. They were, what, 2000, whatever the fuck?
I have no idea. Honestly, when I actually watched that last episode and went and watched those YouTube videos explaining it, I realized that I didn't see a couple of the movies. Like, there's 22 fucking movies in that story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I missed a few of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't really see...
It all makes sense, to be honest.
It does, but, like...
Captain America thing and...
There was a lot of movies I didn't see, so, like...
Spoilers, again. Yeah.
Well, this whole episode's about spoilers. Honestly, if you haven't already seen Endgame and you haven't already watched the last episode of Game of Thrones, like, there's not a thing on the internet. Actually, what is it? The Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man trailer completely spoils the ending of Endgame because they talk about Tony Stark being dead. Yeah. And they got all this backlash about it because they released that trailer, what, a week after that movie came out?
You know the first trailer actually had Iron Man in it?
Oh, really?
Before Endgame came out? It was like...
MCU is famous for doing that. They change trailers and they change footage in movies. They make a trailer to get your ass in the seat and then tell you a completely different story. I actually respect it. I respect MCU for
doing that. I just can't see
that.
Spider-Man swinging around Venice, is it? Or wherever he is now?
I don't know where the hell he is.
It's just kind of strange, him not being in the city, even though that's kind of like...
Well, no, I think it's going to be good. I'm not a huge fan of the guy playing Mysterio Gyllenhaal, but it's going to be a good
from the multiverse now. And
I like this take on Spider-Man way better than the last, six? I forget the actor's name. He's my favorite Spider-Man so far.
This one.
Yeah. I didn't like the other. The other two look like pussies.
Well, I grew up with Tobey Maguire.
Yes, I never liked Tobey Maguire. I didn't even like Lord of the Rings. I know there's a lot of people like, I fucking hate this guy now.
Wait, Lord of the Rings?
Wasn't he the main character? Doesn't he play Frodo? Oh, no, that was a different guy. I don't like that character. That was a liar.
Bro, see, this guy is saying he's a fan.
Well, no,
bro,
I'm not a fan of Lord of the Rings. So, when Game of Thrones...
Do you watch your own videos? Are you a fan of, what you... Do you know what you do?
Game of Thrones. When Game of Thrones came out, I reluctantly watched the first episode because I enjoyed Harry Potter, didn't enjoy Lord of the Rings. I got so bored in Lord of the Rings. To this day, I've never seen a full Lord of the Rings movie.
Well, there's more storytelling there.
It's just not my thing. You know, everyone's got their things. And then, Game of Thrones came out, and I was like, I'm probably not going to like this show. And, you know, even people complain about the first episode of being too slow. I couldn't get past the first episode. I saw the first episode. I was like, lit.
Yeah.
Fucking love this show.
Nothing crazy happened, but you have to understand the characters first.
Yeah, well, I just liked the characters. And the way it was shot, even though it was shot a little cheaper than the rest of the show, because it was obviously not the pilot, but the second episode. I wish they'd release the real pilot. I want to see that.
I think that's why people kept watching. Like I mentioned earlier, the daggers people would just throw at each other and just
It was
just so, you know.
That illustrates the point I made earlier when people were all mad that they killed the Night King in the third episode. I was like, he's side plot material. The drama, the families and the five kings.
Yeah, that's all before the Night King.
The Westeros, that's the freaking story. I know. I'm told you not to hit the table and I keep doing it. But honestly, what I'm going to do, just in case you're watching this and you're
fucking table guard,
you're worried that this is going to be a thing. No, I'm going to buy different mic stands and have the mics not connected to the table so that people can hit the table. Because I feel like that helps when you're trying to make a point. I want to hit the table sometimes.
Oh, wait, okay.
So I'm going to make the mic stands connect like this so that when you hit the table.
We have our chair. We can be engaged with the chair, you know?
It probably still picks up. But the only reason why I even noticed it was because Linda, the last podcast I did, at the end of every sentence, she'd put her finger down on the table.
Literally, just put her finger there.
Boom.
I'm going to tell you what is going
stop
on.
Stop doing it.
Oh, this is uncut, huh?
Yeah, completely uncut.
Wow, you're going to have to edit all this down. That's crazy. What do you use, After Effects still?
I switched to Premiere. Stop doing it.
Premiere?
All right, was there any other characters we haven't talked about in the last... In Game of Thrones.
Wait, so is you and Crispy doing Premiere now? That's weird.
Oh, I just started using it. I still use Vegas for some things. Mm. But Vegas crashes when I try to put this high quality footage in.
That's fucked, dude. That's fucked. You're betraying all
of us. What other characters? I mean, Arya, I like Arya. I said I was pissed at everyone. I didn't like that she curved what's-his-face, but he was being a little bitch. He thought Arya was going to come be his lady, and he wanted to... I understand the reason why he did that. He was panicking. He's an innocent kid. And his character is really great too. But Arya, I guess she left. The Hound, what do you think when she asked, what do you want? And he was you can't give it to me. And we don't know what he wants. What do you think the Hound wants? And is it to kill his brother? That's the only thing he wants in the world? Or is it he wants love? Because he's always had this kind of thing where he always looked at Arya or Sansa in a way, kind of a creepy way.
Yeah.
But now they're older, I feel like he wants love. And he wants to love another warrior. And Brianna Tarth was really the only other female warrior, but she was in a love triangle with two other dudes.
Yeah.
So I always wondered what's his, his character drive has changed a few times.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And so this last episode, we got a kind of a picture into his mentality of what is Gregor Clegane want? Another thing where you know the names, but it's hard to pronounce them. What do we actually think he wants? And is he? They hint on it, they talk about it, and he doesn't give it up. And then he ends up going to the King's Landing with Arya. So do you think it's, does he want it, like, is his main motivation to get revenge on his brother, which seems a little shallow for his character, given the time period in between the two things?
He has to do what's meant to be done first until he, you know.
I think he wants love. I think his character is this tragic, big fucking guy that has been putting all this misplaced aggression from being lonely, sad, and betrayed by his family and without love. And he turned all that into hatefulness, murdering, killing, and trying to literally push everyone away. Like, that's even why, and the only reason why I think it's because he wants love from real love is he pushes away the whore, the girl that was trying to sleep with him. He pushes her away. I'm like, are you serious? Like, you've been to whorehouses, even when he went to whorehouses in the earlier parts of the show.
Yeah.
He would just sit there and drink. You never saw him with a girl.
Well, remember, he did have the whole church episode, and like, he was kind of like helping out, and maybe he's just changed now. He's maybe kind of looking towards a brighter picture.
Well, he was lost in the church parts, and then he found his new calling when he met the...
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's all started from there. Kind of like.
His character drive has changed more than almost anybody in the show. Like, everyone else has run down a pretty... I mean, I guess Sansa maybe forked off a little bit, but everyone else's plot lines is pretty straightforward. Like, everyone's that character, and you like that character because you get to see him in situations, and you can almost predict how he's going to do it. Yeah. And then the show likes to fuck with you, like Jon Snow getting killed and then coming back. You know, like, that's how that's what they do. They build up these presumptions that you have, and then they thrash them. Mm-hmm. And it's what makes you love the show normally. But now that it's ending and they're doing that, it's like, oh no, like, the show's ending. Don't thrash my expectations now. And that's why everyone's so pissed, I believe.
Wait a minute. The Lord of Light, remember, brought back, what's the guy with the flame sword?
Oh God!
Brought him back, it brought him back like 16 times.
And his
right?
only purpose was to save Arya.
Arya, so he can kill the Night King. Jon Snow was brought back once, right? And his purpose was to what so far?
Oh, sorry, I can actually explain this. So this goes
to
back
win the
to
the Battle of the Bastards, or is there more?
No. Jon Snow had to. He was necessary to be the Starks had to own Winterfell.
What I'm trying to get
so
to
that
is
Arya,
like,
could be able to do that. And if any other way that happened. Like, Jon Snow had to be the one in charge of Winterfell.
Of course, but did he already fulfill his purpose after being brought back? Or do you think there's more?
I got a theory. You might dig this. So, I was thinking about this. Because the Lord of Light shit just fascinates me. Of how well they tied that all in together. So, when that dude, the guy with the eye patch, died 7 times, they thought it was because the Lord of Light was bringing him back. Because they were doing these trial by combats. And it was just, he had this great purpose, but they didn't really know. So, they were like... The same way the Fire Priestess was doing, they have all these powers and they know the God's real, and they're trying to, I guess, siphon out his reasons and what he wants. And they, you know, they keep true to the theme that the Fire God had this thing, but there's no way for him to communicate that to his followers. So he gives them signs to do the things that they don't understand. So that it'll end up at this culmination of what had to happen.
Exactly.
So it was another good thing, is like, he thought he had this great purpose and all this stuff, when really the only reason why he kept on being brought back, not because he was this all important, powerful guy, he just had to be alive. It's the same thing with Jon Snow.
Yeah, he understood that too. Like, he was saying, like, sure why I'm here.
Then why would they do the trial by combat? Oh, let's find out. Like, if you win, the Lord of Light blesses you. It's like, no, that had nothing to do with it.
I think he was just trying to figure it out. Like, because he even said himself, the guy with the eye patch, he was like, I'm not, you know, at this point, I'm not sure. And then he tells Clegane to look into the fire. He's like,
Like, everyone, they have all these things and they think it's one way. And they think, oh, this is the reason for it. And it never ends up being the thing, which is really, really cool because it touches on a cool part of like destiny.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, or just religion, or an all-powerful almighty. God works in mysterious ways. And it did that. Except for, just like the theme of the show, this God had to do all these fucking horrible things. Burning children. Burning and killing everybody. Yeah. Sacrificing altars. Having, you know, coming into some left-wing religion. Fire priests going around spreading lies. All this shit had to happen so the Starks could be at Winterfell.
And I definitely think...
And all three of them, not just two of them, not just one of them, all three of them all four of them had to be there.
I mean, there's, you're still missing a few Starks, though.
Yeah, no, but the only four surviving.
What about when Ramsay killed? He's gone.
No, the four surviving.
I know.
Each one of them had a very specific purpose to be there.
Yeah.
And they all needed to have, like, all this reason. Like, even, like, the Sansa plotline. You're wondering why all that had to happen. And, well, it's because she had to be there, leave Ramsay Bolton, raise troops, and then she had to have Littlefinger's Knights of the Vale come save him. So like that's why when I was thinking about it, because that was the when it got to the end of that last episode, I was think or at the end of the second episode, I really like mentally dove into the fire god thing, because that was one thing I thought was another sideline plot that was. Because I never thought they'd actually make a real god in the show. Like I thought it was just that woman doing
you
the tricks.
You get the drowned god, you get the fired.
And they never do anything. And then you find out the old gods, the tree people thing, they were just actual people. They weren't gods. They could die. You know, they did die.
Like they were responsible for the Night King.
Yeah, well, yeah. So there's all these people that weren't actual gods. The only real god in the show is the fire god. And so I wanted to look for plot holes. And no, there's not a single plot hole. Absolutely every single thing that was a result of this fire god, or even little tiny quips mentioned, little tiny talkabouts part, when you think about it, it all had to happen exactly like that, only so that Bran, Sansa, Arya, and Jon would all end up in Winterfell at that exact moment. And it, like everything, even every tiny little thing, it's like, oh, why did they do this? It's just like, well, if that hadn't happened, it's like a house of cards. So that's like, and then what pissed me off is as having this revelation, I went on Twitter and everyone was pissed because of the prophecy. And they're like, oh, they literally just threw that prophecy out the window. And apparently it was a huge thing in the books. And then here, the prophecy, I guess it wasn't so literal. They made it more mysterious. Yeah. They made it where the fire priestess and all the people under the guise or control of the fire god were literally pawns. Literal pawns.
I mean, that's kind of how the world works now. It's just like... It's destiny. It's like, if it's meant to happen, it happens.
Well, no, it's not really. What if you found out the Pope was just a pawn and not this big religious figure? That was what we thought of all these people. You thought Melisandre was this really big religious thing, and she was literally just a pawn.
Oh, no. Yeah,
she didn't even understand what she was doing.
Exactly.
She made up bullshit, which she explained to Stannis' wife why she does that, is you use a trick to let people see the truth. But it was just like that really tied up well.
Yeah.
What were other shit people were complaining about? Because everyone hit the Twitter like
I don't know,
crazy
but the day. Best character who's literally finessed the entire show until he died was Littlefinger. He started in King's Landing, and then all of a
sudden they built his character up
army
too much.
And like think about it though.
They think built his character it. Up too
he
much.
He finessed everyone.
Yeah,
with the help of Varys, but like still he pretty much kind of ruled in a quick manner too, you know.
I mean, he definitely went from a little piece of shit that hung out with the Tullys.
He was always a piece of shit.
And then he rose to be one of the great lords of Westeros through talking, but like I guess his character is the same thing with Tyrion. You thought these characters were so ridiculously smart. And
I was
everything
saying, Tyrion's going to die.
No, it's just everything worked out for them and their minds gave them this weapon in a world of swords and blood.
Yeah.
And they used it so well. And then they made this fatal miscalculation. Like, he fell in love with Sansa, and there was, like, two episodes when Sansa dissed him every convo that they had, and he didn't see it coming. He didn't... You
would think he would.
Yeah, it's just because he, like he said, he explained it. He goes, I think of this thing, and I pull it out of my mind, and I try to make it real in the real world. But it's like, we didn't think far enough ahead there, and the same thing's happened to Tyrion.
The whole thing he did with the note, that was, like, he pretty much... You know, put all that together, and he tricked them all.
Because he wanted to be the king of Winterfell, and the only way to do that was to marry Sansa, who had to be the lady of Winterfell and all that stuff. So I understand why, but it's the fatal miscalculations. And I feel like they're doing the same thing with Tyrion. These people that, and Varys too, these people that had these weapons, and their weapons was their minds.
I still feel like Varys is untouchable. For some reason, I just think he knows what he's doing. He's not going to like really have any significant, you know...
He's going to die.
He might die, but I feel like... The
they're gonna give
might end with him just standing somewhere. He's just gonna be
no. They're gonna
has to be.
They're gonna give him a big death. I feel like so. Here's a good. No. Let's ask you this question because they even said it when I was watching the post. The explanation. They can't give everyone a big death. They can't.
Of course.
They gave the little Mormont girl big death, which was
geez.
It was awesome, but stupid.
Yeah,
just ridiculous.
Yeah, the way she
the CGI was bad. Everything was bad about it. It was great because I really enjoyed her character.
The way her like armor crushed around her was cool. It was like a little.
It was dumb, but
chocolate.
I feel like they're gonna give big deaths. Like, who do you think they're gonna give big deaths to? I think the Varys is gonna do something to sacrifice himself, just like he did for Tyrion, because he thinks it's what's best for the realm, and he's always been for the realm. He's gonna make some massive sacrifice in the fifth episode and die. He has to. That's the only way I'd be happy with his character.
I see him, honestly...
You think living. He's going to be the king?
No, not being king. Just living. It's like he's not going to die.
I think he's going to have a heroic moment. I feel like his character has been one of the strongest characters in the whole show, and he hasn't had a good scene, a really powerful scene, since he saved Tyrion. He hasn't. He talked that one scene when he was explaining to Daenerys how he's the, you know, he was on the realm side and all that stuff. Okay, that was okay scenes. And he gave some advice. But he hasn't had a valiant, because he was like one of the main characters in the first four seasons.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he saved Tyrion, which made you love him. When that, when the bells rang and he turned around and got back on the boat, I was like,
oh yeah,
my fucking boy. But after that,
yeah, well, not really boy, because
you know what I mean. Oh, you're fucking so lame. You know, so I feel like they're gonna give him a really big death. The Hound's not gonna die. He's gonna live. Arya's gonna live. Daenerys is gonna die. Jaime Lannister is gonna die. Cersei Lannister is gonna die.
No.
Who else is gonna die?
No.
Davos is gonna live.
Yeah.
Giant Spain's gonna live.
No.
You think Giant Spain's gonna
honestly live? What are the wildlings Thoros, really or whatever left his name doing? Is? The wildlings are kind of just.
Oh no! Oh, never mind. Thoros isn't gonna die. They went back north.
Yeah, exactly.
They covered it. They said he was. Yeah. They're going back up north where they belong, because that's where they want to be. But that's the other thing. That's the reason why I think the Night King's gonna come back. It's a reoccurring thing, is because they beat him last time, right? And they built the wall and they found the dragon glass beyond the thing. What did they win and then just go back to sleep? I thought the whole point of the Night King in the show, not the books, was to wipe off humanity, right? So they obviously beat the Night King back. So what did he do? Go to sleep to collect dead bodies for 2,000, 3,000 years? I think they defeated him, put up the wall, because they knew he could come back. Because Bran, who actually has a real history, the world's history, he knows everything. He probably knows that the timeline's all fucked up, that they actually made him hella, hella long ago. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps coming back after a while, after some reason. And that's the reason why. Because otherwise, how did they beat him? And he come back 2,000 years later.
Exactly.
And it doesn't seem, because of how he died this time, it doesn't seem like he'd ever concede. It seems like he would either win or die. There's no tying in him going hiding for 2,000 years behind a wall that they created, mm-hmm. that Bran the Builder from the Starks built. So I don't think that's a thing. So I feel like that's, and also when the Citadel, when they were talking about it, and all this has happened so many times, and it always wins, and winter always turns into summer. And like that whole theme of why the rest of the world doesn't seem to give a shit at all about the White Walkers. Who knows how, why they don't give a shit, even though it seems like they saved the whole world in that one scene.
Yeah.
And Arya Stark saves the whole world and no one else seems to give a fuck. And it's because I feel like just like the way we look at a lot of things, it has its cycle. It's going to happen. Things end. Things start anew. There's nothing we can do about it. So we don't have to do anything about it. So I don't know if there's like something, some way to counteract that. But I honestly think that the Night King... Like, it's not, like, I feel like that's why everyone was so pissed, is the Night King's over. But it's just like, how can he be?
The main story.
How can he really be over? It's a side plot one, so if it is over, who gives a fuck? But if not, if you're one of those people, if having not read the books, you wonder, how did they beat him the first time? Was it magic? Did they put up the wall and he couldn't get past it? And that's why? Did they fight him? Like, did they fight up in the north and then they lost and they put up the wall and the guy was like, I can't get past this. I have to wait 2,000 years until dragons come back. And he found that out because of the three-eyed raven. Maybe that's how they won. Maybe the three-eyed raven said, hey, man, hate to tell you, you're going to lose. But in 2,000 years, you have a chance. But only if you back off right now. And maybe some reason, because he was born of the children of the forest, maybe that's the reason why he believed him. And said, fuck it, I'm going to go to sleep for 2,000 years and I'll wait for the dragons. Because the dragons, dragon fire was the only thing that was able to break the magic of the Stark Wall.
If that's possible, there's no way for him to come back another time, 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his second chance and he blew it.
Well, see, I haven't read the books, but apparently the Starks, the First Men, have a shared lineage with the Targaryens. Because after the Targaryens came and conquered Westeros, they had a bunch of people hook up. And now everybody that's apparently in the Stark family is a distant relative of a Targaryen and a Stark hooking up. And that's why the Night King and all his people look like Targaryens, even though he's supposed to be a Stark. But I haven't read the books. This is what I actually want to do, is go read the books. I don't know how long it's been, but I want to tie this up. Thanks for coming on talking about Game of Thrones. I've wanted to talk Game of Thrones with someone for so long. And the only people that talk Game of Thrones are my parents, and they never...
I don't think I can watch any more episodes, to be honest. After that last episode, I can't. I don't know.
Shut the fuck up.
Dude, the way they killed her, that was just... It was.
Nah, shut up. You're going to go watch it.
I
just know that I'm going to put up this episode in the next couple of days, and when the next episode comes up, like the next GOT episode, I'm going to be on some...
Don't call it GOT. If you're a real fan, no one calls it GOT, dude. You're only spelling guy. You're not saying it.
I'm gonna be on some cruise ship with my little tiny phone.
You're not watching it.
I'm gonna watch it.
No surround sound. No snacks. I mean, maybe.
You know
snacks,
what's really fucking terrible? What's absolutely the worst?
The fucking darkness.
No, the worst thing.
Set your TV right.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was on my PC, so I was able to see. Is that I'm gonna be on the cruise for the episode coming up this next Sunday.
Yeah.
But we land and go back from the cruise the next Sunday, and I have a flight all the way from Northern Europe back to Atlanta. So I'm actually going to be on a plane when the fifth episode of Game of Thrones comes out.
Rip.
So I'm not going to even be able to watch it like when it comes out.
Well, that's what I did with all of Game of Thrones. I waited a little bit, then I binged it all.
Yeah, that's almost half the reason why I feel like is I go back and rewatch the show.
That's why I didn't
want to watch them all over again. And now that we have a week in between, it's you have a week to build up all these emotions. And it's just like that shows I have an emotional connection to the show. Everyone does.
I feel like Game of Thrones... Dexter.
Lost is another example of a
Lost
show.
Lost are great
terrible.
Shows that I like. What?
You liked the ending of Lost?
I'm
about to delete this podcast.
Hold on. If you rewatch Lost, there's actually a meaning behind it all.
No.
Yes.
No.
The way Lost ended was supposed to. I know it pissed people off, but.
It's stupid. It made the whole show pointless.
No. You know why it wasn't pointless? Because all of it was just the afterlife, pretty much. Think about
fuck
it.
Fuck you, dude. That's
what's
exactly
wrong with that?
Why that show
what's
sucked.
Wrong with that? What is wrong with the afterlife?
That's another great
example. Yeah. Me and Joey almost died on his birthday. And for an hour or so, I thought I was actually dead. It's
yesterday?
In limbo. I don't know. We were driving, right?
Was he driving?
I was driving.
I wonder why you almost died.
And there was this stupid median, and he was supposed to give me directions and didn't really do it right. And it was dark. It was so dark. And there's this exit where you get off, but
you
like
can't drive for shit.
There was a hill, right? And then there was this. I was supposed to go on the exit, but I kind of like went off the hill. We were airborne for a little bit. I didn't stop. I just kept driving. I was like, okay, yeah, it was a jump. Did it in GTA a few times, but like we're alive. But then we kept driving. We were freaking out, and there was this dark road, and the only thing that was illuminated was my headlights, and I literally thought we were stuck in limbo. Kind of like in like Lost, like you're dead, but you're like,
I've had enough of you.
So if I'm here, hey, hopefully this video does well. And
yeah, so to answer y'all's question, yeah, he really is that fucking weird.
No, it's just
I haven't commented on the shirt. But.
Jesus, you didn't let me know it was like.
Yeah, we've been seeing chaos chest hair this
whole
time.
Whoa, this is.
Demonic. Did you even do? Is this fresh out of bed hair too?
This is like I took a shower. I don't know what it looks like, but fuck it.
Well, it's funny because Crispy wouldn't come on here until he got a freaking haircut. And you didn't even want to, you wanted to be on this side before it started because you're developing a pimple on your eye.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, I mean.
You look like you just fell out of a frat party.
I'm not Crispy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for coming on and talking GOT with me. We got to be GOT nerds. We didn't cover
Game of Thrones.
I didn't even get to talk about everything I wanted to talk about because there's so many little theories and little things about that show. But I obviously wanted to get it done because obviously the next episode is going to come out and everything we just said and theorized about could be out the fucking out the window.
Jon Snow's going to die and Daenerys is going to have his son before she dies.
That'd be cool. I could.
Infinity War was better than Endgame.
That's true. I actually vastly agree with that.
Chocolate pudding is better than vanilla and any other pudding.
Does anybody actually eat vanilla pudding?
That's what I'm saying. I hope not.
Yeah. Anyway, you just trying to say a bunch to piss people off before we end this?
That's not I mean,
last minute
true.
Dislikes.
It's true.
All right, we're out of here. Thanks so much.
Peace.
I gotta go fix this whole pounding on the table thing.